One of the most wonderful things happening today is God's not through. It's one of the greatest realizations that any of us could have. And that is, you and I still have any option available on His menu. Order it, believe it, pray for it, and receive it. And those that are following Him here will not miss that wonderful day in which we get out of here. I want us to move as quickly as we can, and yet at the same time I want to take a minute while they get ready to put the projection on the screen. I am working diligently on an effort to truly transform our city. I'm not willing to just talk about that and not have a plan in place. When God talked about you having power, He had a plan in place. It wasn't like an abstract thought, I'd like for that to happen. It was like a purposeful commitment. This is what can happen, and this is the way to make that happen. I have seen people that dreamed of a marriage working out, and they had no plans how to make it work. I've seen people that wanted jobs that furnished them financial capability, but they never put a plan together to make that happen. If wishes were horses, beggars could ride. And indeed, a lot of wishful thinking has landed Americans in a real ditch. That was one commentator's concept of what happens way too often. And a lot of people go to church thinking that God's just going to force the thing on us. That's why He said, learn of Me. Study to show yourself approved. The approval comes from the performance of our life. The power for living comes by the purpose of our life. You take a man that decides he wants to date a lady, there is no telling what ends he will go to attract her attention. Some of you men would remember that back when you had some hair. I can say that now. I used to couldn't say that. There are things that we would deprive ourselves of. I mean, I gave up several nice ball game opportunities to go on a date because I had a plan. I had no idea it would work out so good. To think that at those years that Brother Caleb Lowell would produce such a nice atmosphere that Abby would come into his life, and then a Paisley would show up. I like those people. But that was not what I knew that God would do. When He said, I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, that's part of it right over there. Y'all stand up and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. I had no idea. What I am seeing today started 50 years ago when I said, Jesus, whatever it takes, I want You to be happy with my life. And I have gone through fiery furnaces. I have gone through heartbreaking experiences. But He's never failed me yet. And I can sing the song with wonderful sensation about my life because He is a God that can produce if you get a plan. But you got to live the plan. And if you get the purpose of Christ, you have all the assistance of heaven. Plan for yourself, and there's little help that will come. But He performs in the middle of His will. And when we make the will of God the will of our life, He will perform all that He has promised. Why don't we pray? Father, I come against every lying spirit that would tell people they cannot have yet what You have promised. I come against every demonic force that's trying to work in the mind and the heart, the body of men and women whom You have called into this peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I preach today with a conviction that you're more willing to give them the future than they are to receive it. I pray for us to receive your word and your future for our life today. By the blood, the word, the name, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what do y'all want me to teach about?
Well, you probably know by now it's already on the charts.
But I do believe God could change that if somebody gets a conviction. Not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first, he, talking about God, lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. God never lets it get dark that he don't have a light that can reach the biggest prison you've ever found yourself in, or the smallest confinement of life's situations. The light shines in the dark. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not. Somebody say, bigger things happening, but less joy. Has anybody seen that happen? Less content. Lots of multiplication. Got things we never dreamed we'd have. They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior, somebody say, is with confused noise. Garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. The reason for the season is a major, major thing. I want us to look at it. For unto us a child is born. Somebody say us. Unto us a son is given. That's every generation. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. He will take care of the responsibility. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He will assume the responsibility by government, and then he will deliver the people with spiritual wonders, counseling, being the overpowering God and the continuing God. Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, he's an everlasting Father. Whether you've done right or wrong, he's an everlasting Father. And they that call upon the name of the Lord, he'll get you out of whatever you got yourself into. His government creates that panoramic view. That is dynamic for you to be able to tell your children. Some of them's going to get themselves in a tight spot. And you're going to be able to look at them with confidence and not only tell them when they've cut their finger they're going to be okay, but when they have got nightmares for memories, you're going to be able to tell them, God will erase the pain of all of that and heal your heart and your mind and give you everlasting joy. Let's praise him for that hope. I praise you. I thank you today. of the increase. Somebody say the increase of his government. I want to tell you that he don't have to have a Republican campaign and a Democrat campaign to get government increased. When he decides that he needs to increase government to get more flow or wealth to your need, he just authorizes it on himself, goes to the blood that he gave, and finds in it the ingredients that you need to get washed or freed from whatever is binding your life. There shall be no end of that peace and that government upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Somebody say his purpose will perform that. His desire for you will perform that. And how many of you would raise your right hand today and say, God has delivered me from some sick situations?
I got to raise both of mine. I have done some dumb stuff, but that's not my present address. I've eaten there and I've visited there, but I don't live in dumb any longer. Some of you act like you don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. All the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are falling down, but we will build. Somebody say, we will build. I'm going to tell you, if it's not built according to the word, it won't last. The hewn stones, the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. If the Lord is not made God, I can tell you, we can't build an economy. We cannot build a government. We cannot build a church religious system that will stand the test of what's happening. But he can build it. He said, I will restore the years. I will build again those things which are fallen. I will give you joy where there was barrenness and horror. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. Could this possibly be the answer for all of that? A little baby come to this earth, and we celebrate this baby. Now, what you and I, and we'll try to get on with the rest of this lesson if time permits, but I want us to understand, God sent forth his Son into the world. His seed was in the womb of a virgin lady, but that baby was born of flesh and deity. The earthly child of a heavenly father and the heavenly child of an earthly mother. What a connection with earth and glory. That's big news. This baby was the revelation of God to the wealth that God wanted to disperse throughout the poverty-stricken land. A place where moms and kids couldn't get along, and a place where husbands and wives couldn't get along. And it spread further than that. The government and the people had problems. And then it spread further than that. The nations had problems. They couldn't get along. This is not the first time God's world has been messed up by national disasters. Government against government. Men against men. Powers of wealth against other powers of wealth. It's not the first time he's made life livable in the middle of a crisis. And I want to tell you, if he ever did it for anybody, he'd do it for you, Mama. I've come to tell you today, the devil is trying to put fear in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, and give us a contagion of question marks. I'm here to dismiss the question marks and curse the power that tried to promote it. I'm telling you, God is still God, and God still loves you, and he's got enough power that he put together the material that builds
bombs.
Don't think he can't direct the traffic. If he knows how to guide a tornado through Paris, Texas in the early 80s and only wipe out 7 people, wiping out over 1,000 houses, he's a good driver. We got to see him for what he is. He shakes nations, and he shakes cities, and he shakes homes, and he shakes individuals. And he will shake you more times than I can tell you to try to get you to wake up to the realization that that baby was a promise to the world that I have power that you have never seen, and I'm going to put that baby in the middle of your world, and I'm going to start distributing the wealth of heaven, the wisdom of God, the glory of a bigger world than you've ever visited. They may have visited the moon, but he owns that as his footstool. Earth and all that is therein is nothing but a footstool for him. So, I want you to try to follow the picture with me. Why in the world would a government worry about a baby 2 years old and try to remove him from their society? You do remember that this baby we celebrate Christmas about was driven away from its nativity into a foreign country because it too, the powers that thought they were the greatest power. I want you to catch this statement. They thought they had reached the zenith of humanity in wisdom and in muscle and in authority. They thought they had a government that could not be put in array or disarray. They thought they had it together. But when they saw, and I do have it in the notes later, but the prophetic trail, these people were aware that the prophetic trail all the way from what seed he would come from to where he would be born, they had that prophetic trail already in place. And when they saw that Bethlehem became the scene, they could remember scratching their head saying, how could that guy know that this baby would be born in Bethlehem? And its resurrection be certified by a picture in the prophetic powers called Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man. Ladies and gentlemen, his resurrection was already predicted back in the days when Jonah was delivering Nineveh from their incarceration. You're not talking about a weak frame mind. You're not talking about a God that has no power. He sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He is the Lord God, and he's been watching you the last few days, and he's been seeing you scratch your head, and he's raising up a voice in the middle of your nightmares, and he's saying, I'm going to visit you. All you got to do is make room for me, and I'll come to your house. I'll come to your head. I'll come to your heart. Wherever the trouble is, I can get there. I wish we'd call on him right now. God, visit us in our affliction. Heal us. God, do whatever you gotta do. Well, you gotta know that God's plans are never going to be foiled by man. They could not kill him at 2. And so in discovering the fact that they couldn't get to him enough, they could not get rid of him, even at 2. And Mary and Joseph had no government. What kind of power did they have that could be wielded against all that stuff that was going on? No. Somebody say, God alone can protect us. And so,
in the middle of a two-year-old that they saw their powers could not conquer. They saw their world could not depose him. They finally started to say, well, we'll let him come back and we'll get close to him and then we'll figure out a way. And of course, you know how that for the next several years they worked. But in the middle of their working, he was working. And he was starting a kingdom with 12 little guys that didn't have an empire working under them, that had nothing but angels to work for them. He started a kingdom that had the wealth of the wisdom that put dirt together. He started a kingdom that had the wisdom to hold a sun in place, that 93 million miles away it could grow corn. They're starting to feel their muscles like deteriorate. And so they could only figure out one thing. We'll do what needs to be done. Somebody say, we'll kill him. Now watch this. That was the religious system. They were willing to violate the laws of their own religion that said thou shalt not kill. Because here's the thing. They had learned to live in low profile life, in deficit living. They had heard of Adam and Eve. They knew the story about Adam and Eve. They knew what God designed to start with. They understood what he started with. And they also understood what brought it to low level. But you know what? You can learn to live in filth. I've watched some of the people that were born in homes where had clean thoughts, clean living. And they've learned to live in filth. And I'll tell you what's the craziest thing. Some of them can laugh and have fun. Living in lies, living in cheap living, living in false victories, living with all that junk going on. And they've learned. And so what had happened to the Roman government and the people that were in the religious system of that day, they had learned to live as midgets. And because they wielded power, they thought they were the greatest on the earth. They thought they had reached the zenith of what humans were born for. But God said, I got news for you. I'm fixing to bring a baby that's going to show you some stuff. Y'all about got me to wanting to run the aisle right now. I'm going to show you what man was really born for. I'm going to show you the high heights of what man can really do. And I'm willing to take myself from the throne of heaven and give myself a body that will live among you. And yes, you'll beat on it and you'll try everything you can do to show it that you're the master. But I'm going to show you who's really the master. It's the invisible God. And if you can get that invisible God inside your life, you can do anything possible in your world. They didn't even recognize perfection when they saw him. John said it so clearly, and you do well to reread it quite frequently, John, the first chapter through the fifth chapter, but mainly where he deals with the light. This is that true light. Somebody say, that true light that has come to light up all men. This is the wisdom. This is the power. This is the glory. This is the victory. Somebody say, true light. Belonging to a church don't give you that. You got to belong to an altar. I'm just cutting to the chase in case we get raptured here in the next few minutes. You got to belong to an altar. You got to belong to the point where I give myself. Paul said, I surrender this body every morning. Matter of fact, he said, I'll just go a little further than that. I beat it into subjection. You're not taking me on a trip to the flesh world. I'm going to take you on a trip to the heavens. I'm going to take you on a trip to the third heaven, as a matter of fact. We're going to pray until his light illuminates a way to climb into the glories of miracles and powers. He said, I've seen everything religion has to offer, Paul did. And he said, I could whip it all with a Roman government. But they couldn't even kill him in a graveyard and hold him hostage there. He came out the other side of the tomb. And he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise him today, because you're just hearing his voice right now inviting you. Could it be possible that something that starts so small as taking your body to an altar? And it doesn't have to be a physical altar like this one. It could be in your car. It could be anywhere. But that you take your mind, body, soul, and spirit to an altar. And you say, you know what? I've tried everything to reach best. And at best, I've reached occasional moments. But I want best. And so I surrender this flesh. I surrender this mind that has been contaminated so much by sinful men and their ideas that we can do it on our own. I am submitting myself to you and to your word, and I gladly sacrifice my future, and I pray the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but thine be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give me this day a preacher that will preach in here. Give me that hidden manner that he talks about in Revelation, the third chapter, that will raise up a brain and will raise up a spirit that will defy the powers of everything going on, and give me a peace that passes understanding. Doctors can't give you enough drugs to get you away from what I'm talking about, but the blood can, the Holy Ghost can, the glory of the Word can. I'm preaching to you today that a baby came to realize, and the book said they hated him yet the more, because you see, they had learned to live in the proverbial world of the best they could afford. They had no idea what the Holy Ghost could afford. Christ in you, the hope of glory that you will never run out of. I'm talking about Christ in you, the answer for every problem that every one of our people in our city face. Let's pray for our city. God, help me to get it. Help me to get it. I want to carry sackfuls of hope to our city this week, this Christmas season. I want to give the rest of our future hope. It is completely possible that something so small as a baby in a manger could grow up in you. When you got the Holy Ghost, you just got the infant side of it. You just started talking in tongues. But Peter came along and he said, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, under the anointing of the perfect wisdom, said, my people are captivated because of a lack of knowledge. So this baby didn't just come so you could get the Holy Ghost. The writer said it so clearly. Daniel, they that know their God. You can't know somebody. Some of you still learning your wife or husband. you gave birth to the kids and you still scratch your head and say, I wonder if they're really mine. Come on, folks. It's no time to play game with this stuff called salvation. I'm watching one religious system after another playing games, entertaining people as if they're getting a hold of something that's going to destroy the works of the flesh and the powers of darkness. There's only one light, and His name is Jesus. And I want to teach you that this God is able. Not here to make you a Pentecostal. We have done that so many years, we've got pointed-headed kids. Spiritually. At least 10 of you got it. It's weird when a Holy Ghost kid hates its brother. It's weird when people don't forgive their neighbor before they ask. But that's normal to Americans' religious system. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. People going to church all the time. They can't stand people sitting on the other side of the building. They can't stand their pastor. They can't stand their saints. Come on, we cannot play games with this stuff any longer. I refuse to do it. I came representing that baby that grew up to be my Savior, and He's doing a good job. I can't hardly get up in the morning without shouting and saying, thank God, hallelujah. My soul rejoices in Thee, O Lord. That baby didn't come to give you an entertainment at church called good singers, good preaching. It's not good unless it changes you. At least move one arm. There you go. That's it. If that arm goes back into place, He hadn't changed your mind. All He's done is you've got an emotional thrust. Creative energy creates atmospheres of power. And I see people do the same thing at ball games they do at church. Yes! Yes! Go! Go! And when they get home, they still got the same hell. Both crowds. I'm not into that. I'm not here to just get you shouting. I'm here to praise Him for His marvelous works. He holds the sun up every day. He causes the moon to do its thing. He causes the earth to send forth its harvest. He causes all the things that the great marketeers, the people that know how to take God's earth and make cars. How that men can dig around in the earth and come up with stuff, and they call it metal, and they come up, and then men can dig in the earth and come up with petroleum. You know who furnished all that wisdom? This God that's about to change your mortal body. Brother Griffith, what a marvelous day thing you did when you showed us how this corruptible shall put on incorruption today. That's what I'm talking about. In a moment, all of this, if you're really seeking the face of God, in one moment, that baby's spirit, the spirit that birthed that baby, that grew that baby in the face of its enemies, I think it most marvelous that when perfection showed up, how many of them know He was the perfect human? And when perfection showed up, it was the religious system that hated Him. Jealousy, envy, strife, from such turn away. But they tried to put light out so they could continue operating in the present powers, thinking that because they had enough power to negotiate controlling men and money, they could control their destiny. But God's love was greater than their ignorance. See Him about to say it for the last time. When you see him in Gethsemane about to squeeze it out among the hatred of those people that he had given a tremendous amount of wisdom. Don't you think for one minute that they did not employ a lot of the wisdom of God in running the show? They did. All you got to do is look at it. They taught oneness. They taught the law. They taught it. And that held them high above Rome. But it didn't hold them as high as God or perfection. And so God sent forth his Son into the world made of woman. But his seed was the genius that birthed a world and a universe. And that's fixing to annihilate this earth. This heaven and this earth shall pass away with a great noise. If he could tell us where he would be born, by which tribe he would be born by, and where it would all happen and how it would all end, if he could tell us that in advance, he does know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and he knows our frame, that we are but dust, and he knows that if we don't get the Holy Ghost and get born again and follow the leading of the Spirit, flesh will take over again. It's not about being Pentecostal, it's about being led by the Holy Ghost. Purpose of the United Pentecostal Church is the same as Christ, who gave life a purpose. He calls his church a body, which will be his bride. And that, for that reason alone, I try to get us to say to ourselves, I'm going to the house of God, because I am the body of Christ. It's been a weird thing that the world has been able to get us to call the building a church. Therefore, we look at it as a place for sustenance. No. I am the temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy One? You alone have the authority to put flesh in charge or to put God in charge. You cannot blame it on the preacher or the church. Be people if you don't have peace that passes understanding, because you are the temple where he sets up a throne room. And from the level of a transformed mind and a transformed spirit, he gives you power to walk on demons and overcome scorpions and overcome every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You can blame it on the preacher or the people if you want to, but you've got an altar, and that altar is filled with the blood and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Almighty God. The marriage supper of the Lamb, that's when that overcomer gets together with this overcomer. And that's his church, the bride. I can only imagine that church. Willard, did it have the same purpose or desire as he? What desire brought him here, Brother Brian? Tell your wife it was to bless you. Tell your husband, Sister Abby, he came to this earth to give your mind a renewing. And you need it. No, don't tell him that. There's not one of us that don't need an upgrade today. We get so down on ourselves so quick. We get so down on one another so quick. We get so down on the world so quick. What if he'd have given up when he was a baby lion in that manger? What if he'd have surrendered to the worthless several level of society that thought they had it all together because they had stacks of money, they had stacks of authority, they had stacks of all of that? But they couldn't control their temper, and they couldn't control the fact that he came according to the law they said they believed in. Because you see, imperfection doesn't notice perfected preaching unless the Spirit within us guides us. So, the daily prayer, not mine will, but thine be done, and do it first thing in the morning. That's his admonition. Forgive us as we forgive others. Not going to happen. If you don't forgive everybody in your house and everybody that's ever done you wrong, you're not going to have forgiveness, and therefore you're going to be in a bind, restricted, and de-elevated. Get it out. Cleanse your temple right now. That's what holiness is. Get it out.
any contaminant. God, I forgive everybody that's lied on me, everybody that's done me wrong. I want to be in fellowship with light, and I will carry no darkness in that will dampen the investment you've made in my life. Oh, praise God. Let's pour it out for a minute. Come on, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and lust of the spirit. I don't understand why I had to go through that. Forget it. Forgive it. Let it go. Turn it loose. You've already been through it. Don't carry it with you. Forgiveness is cutting yourself loose from anything you've ever been through that you didn't like. You pray for one another. If you're by a husband or a wife or a friend, I want you to pray for one another. God, help me to be a help to them in the turning everything loose. Help me not to keep bringing it up. Help me to help them to know there's a future for the worst. There's a future for the most decrepit. There is a future. There is a future. I'm preaching to you that the blood cuts off your history and the blood gives you a future. And I can't go any further without saying this, that when you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood gets involved. Your faith proactivates that blood in your world. You could get baptized 20 times. If you didn't have faith, it wouldn't do one ounce of good. You just got wet. But when you believe that Jesus Christ came to share the wealth of heaven with us, and you believe His life is the life to live, and you want to cut yourself off from your past, you get baptized by repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, the Bible said the blood of Jesus cleanseth us. Let me tell you, what He shed 2,000 years ago is just as active now as it was the day it fell on the day of those people that birthed the day of Pentecost. They got cleaned by the blood. They come out of every kind of religious system and they found salvation, the perfect level of life, and they began to follow that perfect level. Every day they followed Him. They left houses and nets, and they left everything they had in order mentally. They left it all in order to have perfection in their mind, in their heart, in their feet, an ability to kill the works of hell. Small outline of the larger picture was Christ. Somebody say a small outline. What time is it? Got 38 minutes. For you that's first time, don't worry about that. I don't typically go to 12. He loved the world. All the way up in heaven, a perfect paradise. He lived with no restrictions. He could speak, and a new world rolled out. He could speak, and the sun would stop. He could speak, and a new earth would be formed. No restrictions. He lived up there. But He looked down and saw your patheticness. And you were made looking like Him. Don't you ever look in the mirror and tell yourself that Mike's ugly. You were made in the image of God. Don't you cut yourself down. You're cutting Him down. He's the one that made you. I love what one man told his wife one day. She was cutting herself down and putting herself down. He said, let me tell you something, lady. You stop that this minute. I married you and I didn't marry an idiot, and you quit acting like one. Tell your husband that on his low day. Don't use the word idiot. Just tell him, say, I didn't marry somebody pitiful. They don't know what you mean. They heard this. I don't care what you feel like. You are so weak that you feel like you're so helpless. You're not alone. He came from heaven to give you mastery, empowerment.
He didn't get you to come. He don't want you just going to church. God have mercy. He is so sick of churches that have church. He did not die so you could have some weird routine called Methodist or Presbyterian or Church of Christ or Pentecost or UBC. He died so you could get up out of the filth of this world and rise to get a new mind and a new heart. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what preaching is all about, is to help bring about that conversion. You don't think, you ought to think less like you thought yesterday, after today, after Wednesday night, after Sunday morning, after Sunday night. You ought to think more like Him. My God, hallelujah. He's moving me. And if He can move me now, He can move me from earth to His glory world. I'm ready to go.
He came to save us from our sins. Don't you understand that the devil has tried to tell you why this is sin, this is not sin, so you could perform on earth level and keep that reduced atmosphere of a mind that says, you're wrong, I'm right, you're right, I'm wrong. He's right. All of us are wrong. You will know how to live. I don't know why Brother Brian's got my attention today. I guess it's because he's fixing to have twins. I mean, a baby.
He just passed out. Y'all resuscitate.
When you love her, she won't have to tell you everything that she needs. Because love is a spirit that makes you so part of your wife, the book says you become one.
Got a whole message coming on it, but let me just get ahead of myself.
Argument starts, and the husband says, that's not what you said. The wife says, you knew what I meant.
Come on, somebody help me. I know I'm not the only one been on that street.
I learned the hard way a lot of times. I get locked up for a day or two, and I get out of prison, and I remember what got me there. Y'all still trying to act like this is church, and we just got a little routine. We got to go through, and then we got to go do the big stuff. This, it don't get any bigger than what's happening here right now.
I'm telling you, if you'll give the Holy Ghost just permission to twist your mind one notch, you're getting closer to the combination that's going to unlock the whole lock, and you're going to open the door to your future. You've dealt with combination locks, haven't you? Two times a day, seek His face, or seek Him all day. Which one do you choose on the combination? He said, when you seek me with your whole heart, I shall be found of you. That's what I want. I'm not looking for some religious combination that'll unlock a little vault over here called some religious people that'll tell me I'm saved when I hadn't even changed my life. This is a change of authority level. This is a change of relationship level. Train us. Somebody say, train us. That's what Jesus came to do. And so He took 12 guys. I don't know if you got 12 real quickly that'll get up and follow me, but 12 guys. He came real quick and He said, look, I'll tell you how I'm going to start this whole church. I'm not going to start it with a big amphitheater thing. I'm just going to start it over here on the back side of the tracks. Eight, nine, oh, nine. Well, we'll have church next year. He said, I'm going to train you guys. But you got to leave your nets. You got to leave your receipt of customs. You got to leave all you got going. Not physically, mentally. You got to get a new headship. You got to get a new purpose. And once you get that new purpose, all that other stuff will just fall in line. Seek you first the... and his righteousness. People love to seek the kingdom. They just don't want his righteousness. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all of this stuff. Somebody pat your pocketbook if you got it closer. Otherwise, just pat towards your wife. I'm going to train you guys how to do it. And so Jesus, in close proximity, began to demonstrate. That's why he said, for you, you better know the guy that's preaching to you. You better see if he's got any victory. You better see if he can go through hell and come out the other side. You better find you a preacher that knows something about the Messiah besides just being able to quote scriptures and give you linguistic capabilities in the religious world. I'm here to tell you, you better find somebody that can destroy the works of the flesh and the powers of hell in his personal life. Know them that labor among you. You don't want just a good linguistic preacher. You want somebody that preaches the righteousness of the King. You want somebody that lives in the righteousness of the King. You want somebody that walks uprightly and fears evil. So he said, follow me. When I slow down, you slow down. When the work of God slows down, the church don't keep steam rolling ahead and say, we're going to win the world anyhow. We start watching why he slowed down. Then, every now and then, we have to renew our love. So he tells us, renew your first love. Love one another as I have loved the church and gave myself for it. One stop there, one stop here, one stop here, one stop here. And somebody come over here, and somebody stop there, and somebody stop there. And excuse us for intruding into you. We're glad you're here today, but we're going to love on y'all. Love one another. Alabama. Do you feel what I'm feeling in this house? I'm feeling some authority of heaven come in here. That's it. If you can't hug them, shake their hand and put some feeling in it. I love you. Don't let it be empty words that have no backing. When you tell them you love them, you make sure if they miss next service, you call them and tell them, say, I just want you to know I miss you. Don't try to make them feel guilty and aggravated because they weren't able to be there. Call them and just let them know, man, we miss you. You're an integral part of the body of Christ. When you're not here with those family, we love you, man. And then we miss you when you're not here. Man, don't you try to make them on no guilt trip. Where were you the other day? How come you didn't give me a kiss, baby? Come on, love don't behave itself unseemly. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Understand what, thank y'all. Y'all be seated. I got to get finished. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Vaunteth not itself. It brags on its neighbor. It tells its neighbor, you may not be perfect, but I'm going to tell you, you bless me just by your presence. You've got things in your life I don't have in my life. And together we're going to make a miracle. Am I doing any good yet? I'm going to tell you, hell is worried sick right now that you're going to get a hold of this. And you're going to understand that baby didn't come just to canopy a world with religion. He had enough of that. Came to build a kingdom without end. He came to demonstrate the purpose and powers that would help. He was quite aware that those religious system were living not on their knees, but as if that were their feet. Helpless. Victims. You can't walk well and fight well on your knees. You can fight flesh on your knees at an altar. But if you're going to be up and about the master's business, you got to stand on the rock of ages. The truth. They only knew what they had seen and heard, but they did not understand the invisible. But he would begin to make them aware that I didn't come on my own. I came here by spirit power. And I'm here to help you understand that it's by spirit you're going to govern that woman. Not by, get over here, woman. You pretty much muscle enough to do that, aren't you? Get up and drag her out of that. No, don't you do it. I got to live with her too. Worse than that, I got to live with her daddy and mother. No.
I'm watching men try to rule their house with their fist, with their pocketbook. We're not going to bring peace to America that way, are we, Brother Matt? You deal with that stuff all the time, man. We ought to pray for our authorities. Let's pray right now. God, give every one of our policemen the ability to work in the Spirit, to work with the Spirit. Man, they are going into places that are horrible. Their lives. Sister Laney, we want you to know we're standing behind you. I know you worry sometimes about the places. I used to ride with the police in Indianapolis when crime was on the increase of 15% a month. I know what it's like to be dragged into a place upstairs where the dark lights are dark and smoke is filling the place with drugs. And I watch a lady about to jump out the window. And the officer just gave me a club. He wouldn't give me a gun. I wanted a gun. I know that. I know what that's like. I did it over and again, and it was a helpful thing to me to understand what was really happening out there. Witchcraft, soothsayers, astrologists, all that stuff is leading this generation. Those drugs, they take them to a new dimension in spirits. Don't you think it's the drug itself? The drug itself releases them from the mechanics of the brain, and then they do that which the Bible said is called unseemly. When you get on drugs like they're taking on now, they're not going to start behaving right until they get off, and at that moment they need to find somebody that knows the way of truth, that knows the way of life, somebody that's been studying, not just learning a little bit about how to be Pentecostal, but somebody that loves them and says, let me tell you something, man. I got something, man, that'll help your life. I want to tell you, I used to be scattered out on hate and lies and cheap stuff, but Jesus invited me to his altar and I got washed in the blood. I got his Spirit in my life, and I don't just practice Pentecost. I practice Jesus. Stay close in case I need you. They had a few illustrations, prophets and powers, but nothing like the ideas Christ was demonstrating and telling they would be into. We can't go any further. The next frame just requires way too much. Let's stand. This altar's open for anybody. Everybody. The musicians are singing. Prayer warriors are pleading the blood. Travailers are travailing. This city is about to feel the impact of a church that recognizes that that baby didn't come to give us something to celebrate once a year. That baby came to show us what perfection is like. And we will not satisfy ourselves with a story about Samson and not be able to teach our kids how to be Samson. Did you get that? Samson has become an entertainment in our Sunday school department. That's not what this guy's about. This guy's about making you Samson. He demonstrated what a man with God could do. You go through that book and get the picture all over again. Those are not cute stories to tell your kids at Sunday school and at bedtime. They are powers of God released to certain men, that when those men embraced those truths, they became one with the Father. They became one with the Almighty. And the devil was afraid of them as much as he was of God himself, because we have the name which brings the blood. We have the truth which brings freedom. And the devil can't put us in prison when we practice Jesus. Quit practicing a church. Follow him. That baby can lead you to a cross that will lead to power over death, hell, and the grave. We don't have time to go there today, but just know that this don't end at the graveyard. This is power. Sing it. Would you pray all over the building? If you don't have time, find a time this afternoon to pray. We're not trying to make anybody guilty, but I'm telling you, the Bible said now is the acceptable time. Please feel free to come and make a fresh commitment to Jesus wherever you go. I will do like Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. But I will not return, to the land of my captivity. I am going forward. I'm not going back to who I used to be. I'm going to become like you, Jesus. I may smell it. I may be a slow learner, but I'm going to get it. Sing it, singers. Prayer warriors, turn it loose. Let's come back here tonight praying. There's no telling what God's going to do after loosing. Jesus came to give. The church is not here to get. The church is here to give. Give love. Give forgiveness. Give mercy. Give. Every day we're going to give. We're going to give care. Sing it. Pray it. Don't satisfy the flesh. Flesh this morning. I'm digging into who I really am. What motivates my life.